Well, my dear ones, that's a those words are really mussy. I call Marilyn my big sister. Thank you very much for inviting me, and thank you for that teaching. I have a tremendous respect for Black Elk, and he has some books if you want to read about him. He's an amazing Lakota elder. And those words really touched me. To call out to creation and to ask to be heard, or to be seen, to be felt, to be noticed, it's quite something. And what also came to me was, and let me hear you. That was the other part of that that came to me, how I desire to also hear the great mystery, to hear the ancestors, to hear all of creation. I'd like to be able to always have my ears, my heart, my mind, and my spirit so open that I would hear my relatives. I'd hear the ones that walked before, and that would be all things in creation. I'd hear them. I'd hear the ones that walked before. And I would like that my heart and my spirit and my mind and my skin and bones would be so open that I would really hear all the ones that I'm walking with right now. I'd like to hear the four-legged ones, really hear them. What do they have to say? I'd like to hear the rooted ones. Isn't it amazing how long this industrial world assumed that everything else in creation except the two-legged kind was sort of heartless and meaningless? Our old people always knew that was not true. But the industrial world had to have scientists catch up with them and do studies on plants and on trees and say, oh, these things actually have feelings. When one tree has a bunch of trees cut down around it, it goes into distress. When plants are moved around or separated from one another, they have a reaction and we could measure it. It took science a long time to catch up with what the old people always knew. These are our relations, and they have different forms of what we have, and we may not be able to perceive it easily, but they are living, live beings. They have their own form of heart, mind, body, and spirit. It's not that that's missing. It's just our ability to hear them is missing. Our ability to hear them is missing. We can't always hear them. So this was a very powerful teaching for me, and it took me off on a slightly different course, but it still comes right back to my teachings, and I wanted to talk about all my relations. And there's always hundreds of ways into whatever we have in mind to say. So I was heading in one direction, and now I'm heading in another one. But I would wish and hope and pray for always to have that ability to hear all my relations, to hear what's in their hearts, what's in their minds, what's in their spirits, to feel them, to notice them. Because our old people did have that kind of connection and that kind of awareness. When I was driving here, I was thinking, oh, I wish we could be sitting in a circle and I wish we could have a sacred fire. And I walked in and said, oh, okay, this is great. We are sitting in a circle. Because our teachings are all about the circle. And I'm a drum maker. I've made now coming up to 1,300 drums. And I make drums for a whole lot of reasons. One reason I make drums is for a period of time, it was illegal for us to do what we did earlier. You know about that. For Aboriginal people, if there were more than three Aboriginal people with three drums, it was it was almost like an act of treason. People could be jailed and were jailed and the drums removed from them. And when I realized that and I realized how strong my ancestors stood to protect the drum and protect the songs, I said, well, now it's legal. If we saw the RCMP come in, we would just probably think, oh, how nice they're coming to church, right? We wouldn't think that we're going to be arrested. But in the past, that's the reality. So I am a drum maker now because we have that freedom to drum and sing, and I want us to do that together. But I'm a drum maker for more than that. I'm a drum maker because the drum has all the teachings that we need. It's it has the circle. That's like the circle of life. And that teaching about the circle of life, and Black Elk certainly shares this teaching, that the teaching about the circle is that every single solitary thing in creation, all my relations, means my four-legged relations, my winged ones, my rooted ones. It means the ones that crawl in and on the earth. It means the mineral ones. It means the two-legged kind. All things in creation have a rightful place. They all have a rightful place on the circle. There's nobody and nothing that's left off the circle. So if we have a drum and we have that teaching, we could just be guided so well in our lives by just that simple teaching that says, all my relations, when we use that term, it's a little bit of a shortcut. If you hear Aboriginal people talk and they finish a speech and then they say, all my relations, what they really mean is, I have just spoken to all my relations. And it means I have spoken to everyone and everything that has a place on this circle, and that's all things in creation. So I think of being in a vehicle one time with a realtor as we were driving by a piece of property, and I think this really summarizes up well the difference between the fundamental worldview of the industrial world and the fundamental worldview of traditional Aboriginal culture. He pulled up beside a piece of property and stopped, and he said, like, look at this place here, for example. You know, we'd like to develop this place. He said, dear one, get out of the vehicle. Get out of the vehicle and come with me. And we walked onto that undeveloped piece of property. And I said, listen, dear one, what you're going to do is you're going to undevelop it. It's developed right now. It's fully occupied. It's just your eyes aren't able to see. It's full. There's subdivisions all over the place, occupied by squirrels and ants and mice and birds. It's occupied. There's apartment towers in the trees where birds have got their nests. There's underground parking, I guess, for certain bugs and beetles. It's busy. There's shopping malls all over the place. The land in its natural state is fully developed and occupied. And so this is why this teaching meant so much about help me to be heard and let me hear, let me see. When I look at a piece of land, help me see those are all my relations. Help me to see that something is fully developed. The industrial world takes our vision away from us. It's why when we smudge, I put my smudge bowl out here. They told me if I get out of the V, I'm going to make noise. So I put my smudge bowl out here. We smudge every day, and when we smudge, we clean our minds to help us to use this gift of thought, to use it to think good things. We clean our eyes to help us see the way a baby saw things with innocence, to let go, take the cataracts of some of our learning off. And so when my friend could come with me and look at a piece of land, he could see that it is developed and occupied. We want to be able to see. We want to be able to hear. When we stand outside his vehicle, we can hear all the beings that occupy that piece of property. So I hope that kind of helps to summarize this fundamental difference in the industrial world's point of view and in the Aboriginal point of view, whether something is developed or not developed. In the industrial world's point of view, it's developed when human beings have taken over and pushed everything out of the way. In the Aboriginal point of view, it's fully developed when all my relations occupy it. So when we hold that point of view, it extends across all beings. It encompasses all beings on this Mother Earth. But our view also extends back in time and forward in time. So we think of this on our breath. Just take a nice big breath in right now. Exhale. Now draw in another one. And exhale. And just think of over the course of this hour, hour and a half when we are here, what are we actually doing? We are drawing into our own bodies. I am drawing into my body air that has circulated through yours. I'm taking it in. That's how closely connected we are. And as I exhale, you're taking into your body, and it's circulating through you, air that's been inside my being. That's how closely connected we are. Our minds don't let us necessarily think that way, but our spirits, that's what's happening. So when we notice that we share this air, this breath, this spirit, this gift of life with one another here, if there are any other little moths or ants or little mice, guess what they're doing? We are breathing their air. They are breathing ours. That's quite intimate, isn't it? It's very intimate. Take something right inside your whole being that's been inside someone else. It's very intimate. But then we have to think about where did this air come from and where was it before we started sharing it? And that's what carries us back to this connection through time. Because we're breathing the air of our ancestors. That's what we're breathing. There's not any new air that's been piped in from Mars or somewhere else, right? Same old air. So in this moment, we are breathing in the air, the breath, the spirit, the gift of life of all the ones that walked before us. That's how we still feel connected with them. Say, they're right here with me. They're right here with me in a very physical, real sense. I'm breathing the air they breathe. In the same way, we can understand that as that air comes through my being, it's affected by my being and by yours and how we exchange, then we can understand the effect, the possible effect. It's our way of understanding. The effect of that air, that breath, that spirit, that gift of life that all things in creation shared before us. So that connects us back through time with all the ones that walk before us. We also, every time we breathe in, every time we breathe out, where is that air going? It's going to our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren. When someone came to light a candle for the grandchild, it was quite a happiness flowed through the circle era. Because we love our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren. And black elk is one that spoke, and all of our leaders knew and understand that when we remember those ones that walked before us, and the ones walking with us, and the ones coming behind us, and then we've expanded our view, so we're talking about the ones, we're talking about all my relations from before, from now, and in the future. And our teaching says we're supposed to, when we make decisions, we're supposed to think about, was it you that had the grandchild? Yeah, we're supposed to think about that grandchild. We're supposed to think about 7 generations. So when our old people would sit in council and be thinking about what to do, we couldn't think in that small, limited, isolated way of saying, well, what we're going to do is what's best for the Unitarians that are here present today. Forget everybody else. They had to say, what is best for us in this circle? What would be the guidance from those that walk before us? How are our actions going to affect all our relations living with us right now? All our relations. So back to the realtor and the undeveloped piece of property, there were no undeveloped pieces of property. So if we're in council, we got to think about how will our actions affect all our relations right now? And how are our decisions today going to affect the next seven generations? Will it leave them with clean water? Will it leave them with food? Will it leave them with all that they need? Will this be a good decision for seven generations? If it would, we could take it. Will it be a good decision for all our relations? If it would, we would take it. I think we need more of that view in the world that we live in today. Imagine if we actually extended our sense of who are our relations and said, all my relations include all two-legged kind, all four-legged kind, all winged ones, all things in creation. That's the simple teaching we have. One of the elders said, if you want to know how to conduct yourself, you recognize who your relations are, which means everywhere you put your eyes, there's a relation, and there's another one, and there's another one. You recognize wherever you place your eyes. And if a little mouse runs across the floor, we say, oh, there goes another relation. You recognize where your relations are. Who are your relations? And then, just remember the simple teaching. How should you treat your relations? How are we taught to treat our relatives? Supposed to treat them in a good way, huh? Supposed to treat them in a good way. So this is this kind of fundamental difference in worldview that existed and created a lot of problems when our nations encountered one another. It made for a lot of difficulty because there weren't good ways, I don't think, of quite explaining or understanding the differences in those points of view. I just want to check because I have no idea about time. Are we there? Oh, okay. Okay. I do have a sense of time, but you see, I don't wear a watch, and so I just have to be guided in a good way. So I hope that some of those ideas are useful. I encourage you, whenever you take a breath, when you think about it, think who you're breathing in, all of your relations. And when you send your breath out, think of where it's going. Think of where it came from, who's already had it, who's already shared it, and think of who's going to share it. And then we try to put a good blessing. We've tried to put gratitude for those that sent us this air, and we tried to send a blessing to those that are going to receive it. So I'll end, my dear ones, by saying the teaching that I was given. When I was given it, I was very young and a little bit foolish, and I was kind of like, that's it? I saw the elder probably saw that look on my face, and he said, well, if you get this teaching all handled, you can come back. I'll see if I could find another one for you. So I thought, okay, I'm pretty eager beaver. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. This is what he told me. He said, I'm going to give you a teaching, and it's going to explain everything to you. Everything you've ever done and anything that's ever been done to you, whatever you see in the world, here's the teaching. It will explain everything. Now, my little cynical self is like my little niece thinking to myself, yeah, right. But this is the teaching he told me. He said, the two-legged kind are foolish. That's it. And it's true. If you think of all the other relations that we have walking around on this Mother Earth, most of them know how to manage without psychiatrists and psychologists and antidepressants or anything else. They just know how to live. The bears know how to live. The salmon know how to live. The mosquitoes. Everybody else seems to know how to live and manage. The two-legged kind, we're the foolish children of the Mother Earth, according to our teachings. Then he said, now I'm going to tell you what to do in response to the teaching I just gave you. Okay, I'm ready. I think this is going to take a period of time. He said, you walk in your life with love, with honor, with respect, and with compassion for all things in creation. So I thought, oh, okay, I can do that. I ran off, started getting love and honor and respect and compassion for all things in creation until when I time I saw him again, I was just, whew, worn out. Oh, he said, you didn't understand the teaching, huh? Yes, I said, always kind of disappointed. I wanted a little pat on the back. Yes, I did. I did get the teaching. I've been working hard to show love and honor and respect and compassion everywhere I go. No, he said, the teaching says love, honor, respect, and compassion for all things in creation. You've been ignoring a part of creation. I'm thinking, I've been as inclusive as I know how to be. Said, you've been ignoring your own self. You're part of creation that you're supposed to respect. Whatever you do needs to be showing that love, honor, respect, and compassion right here for this source of life as well as all the ones around you. So with that, I went off and realized that the teaching was going to take me a little bit longer to learn and work out than I'd originally thought. I'll share that teaching with you. And thank you so much for inviting me to come here to be with you. I love what you're doing. I was very touched. I haven't been to one of your ceremonies before. I was very touched by all the different elements that I saw here and what you're doing. And I hope to see you again. Masicho, all my relations.